In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Amen. Before the proper sermon begins, just a word of assurance. Stephanie will be back next week at our pantry. She is down with a bug today, so she hardly ever cancels, so she's out today. We have a few partners out as well, so we are batting kind of understaffed this morning. But she will be back. I'm just doing the cantering today to get us through. I am, however, going to put in for her check. Well, yes, but my soprano voice isn't what it used to be. I was a voice soprano, as most boys are when I was in the choir, but then, you know, things happen. So. But anyway, she will be back next week, we hope. Your indulgence is much appreciated this morning. There are many, hazards or difficulties or challenges being the partner or spouse of a pastor. It is a difficult role. You have to be both supportive and behind the scenes. You have to be flexible. You have to maintain the schedule. You've got to be able to roll with the punches. There are times when there are emergencies that take clergy away from their families and from things they need to be doing otherwise. But it's not so much those. It's kind of the daily ins and outs, the daily schedule, the daily meeting of demands. There is always something to do. Right now, Becky is doing 99% of the cooking in our house. She likes to cook, and she's home and has time, and so that has worked out. I am asked once in a while to cook, and I miss that very much. But in the meantime, that seems to be going fine. However, there is a question I'm asked just about daily. When will you be home for supper tonight? When will you be home for supper tonight? Now, I try to keep that in the 5 to 6 p.m. range, give or take a minute or two, but not always, because what happens is I might reach for one more task on my desk or make one more phone call or check in a few more details, and the next thing I know, it is 6:30, and I am slinking in, trying to pretend as if I've been there for a whole hour, but that doesn't work so well. Most of the time, that's okay. But some days, I'm told by Becky, I'm preparing a special dish for supper tonight, and it has to be served the moment it is ready. So whenever you tell me you'll be home, you have to be here. So what time will you be home to eat supper tonight? I don't have to sign an affidavit, but it has that kind of weight to it. You need to be here at a specific time because the meal is going to be ready then for you to eat, for us to eat, for us to share. In the Gospel of this morning, Matthew's parable of the marriage feast, the presenting problem, which is somewhat the wedding garment, we'll hear a little bit more at the end of the sermon. The presenting problem is the urgency of the meal that has been prepared. Three times in the Greek, the terms is ready now is used. The banquet is ready, the food is hot, the buffet is set, and the invited guests aren't coming. Like my wife trying to organize supper around my schedule, the king is frustrated. Fortunately, she doesn't burn the house down when she's really that upset, but she gets frustrated, the king is frustrated. I've prepared this feast, I've planned this meal, I've been shopping for days, the invites went out, and the time was set. Where is everyone? Do you remember the days, now I'm dating myself, but I think all of us in the room probably remember the days you received formal invitations in the mail to things? Maybe you do still sometimes, but before email, there was this great institution we use called the United States Postal Service. and the invitations were printed, usually on fairly heavy stock and fancy envelopes. And it came in, and you opened it, and most invitations to major events contained these words, either at the top or at the bottom: "The pleasure of your company is requested." The pleasure of your company is requested. A not so subtle way of saying nicely, you better show up. The pleasure of your company is requested, which means you jolly well needed to reply and pretty much needed to be there. Refusing to attend, and worse yet, being a no-show, like the first group of guests, was not an option when the pleasure of your company is requested. You needed to be there, ready and dressed for the occasion. Not responding at all, ignoring the RSVP, or is even worse, like the second group of guests. I understand from modern wedding planning and modern event putting together that getting RSVPs has now become the hardest part of the job. You know, people just, they don't reply, and you have to go after them, and you have to remind them. But what if those invited to the banquet are, well, everyone? Especially the outcast, the marginalized, the lonely, those outside our community, the non-church, those who think they have no faith, or who might not otherwise belong or fit in. That's the third group of the story. When the king says, go to the thoroughfares, what that is also a term for the marketplace. Go to the roads, go to where people are gathered, go to where those folks are, not just the ones that are home, the ones that should have answered their invitations, but go out to everyone, the third group in the story. They don't get a fancy invitation, they don't get an engraved invitation, they don't have the pleasure of company as requested. They are just told to be there. They are called by name nonetheless, but they are invited. And it's not just a free meal. It's a chance to share in a life-changing encounter with the heavenly banquet that God has made ready for all who accept the invitation, who answer the call, and who as much as possible prepare and get ready for that event. These are the people who open their hearts and minds and souls and bodies to receive God's grace and to be clothed with God's righteousness. Many are indeed called. Few truly accept that call. The Presbyterian Church down the road has very interesting signs, you know, all those kind of wonderful, you know, that's changed the signs and aphorisms and statements a lot. This week's read something like, yes, you can come to church, but does that make you a Christian? I think it was question marks. Yes, you can come to church. Or the other expression was, just because you park your car in the garage doesn't make it a Chevrolet. You see. Sharon Lazard had this to say about this passage, ready for the party. What strikes me in this parable is that none of us are truly worthy to be invited to such an extravagant wedding banquet. Precious few of us regularly haunt the halls of wealth and power, regardless of our privileges that we have. We may never dine with presidents or princes or sit at a table like the ones in Downton Abbey. Yet still, we are invited to God's table here on earth, in our churches, in our hearts. And there truly is no finer table to be found. So the question I've been pondering is the right response to this invitation. Is it to in turn make sure that our congregational tables are fully open to all who come? Is it to take God's table of grace into the world and seek and share the abundance? Do we honor God's invitation by wearing the right garments? Love, mercy, kindness, compassion, joy. Do we dare to give less than our very best to those who we invite? God calls us all to new life, the table of grace lovingly prepared for us and for all. All we have to do is respond and accept. The other consequences are two. One is we may be late for dinner if we don't respond and accept. But worse yet, we might miss the chance of a lifetime to know who God is and to be part of God's kingdom. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.